want you to take heed. Promise that all, darling, you can do anything, anything you please. I ask my baby, you let the way. A man wants me to leave you, you want me to stay. We may be fighting a losing battle, but having a lot of fun. We may be fighting a losing battle, but having a lot of fun. Wish you were here.
Thank you. We're having real trouble hearing each other. It's a little awkward. This last song is called the Four Road By. One more time.
Oh, road by, road through here, three McLean boys and that wild Alex there. They were armed. All were armed. It was them and I had known them anywhere. Billy Dog had stallions and 20 miles of cayuse. When the wild bunch stole them, he hightailed it into town. Kosher in them days was keeping order in the district. Before he'd ridden 30 miles, the McLean boy shot him down. Oh, road by. Boys and that wild Alex there. They were armed. All were armed. It was them and I'd have known them anywhere.
A shepherd known as Kelly saw the wild bunch as they passed. They shot him with a rifle and they took his watch and chain. And when the posse found him in the lonely cabin, a hunger took their pile away, and no one else was slain.
Four rode by, rode through here, three McLean boys and that wild Alex there. They were armed. All anywhere.
They hung the boys in January 1881, the first time in that province that they'd strung up brothers three. The sons killed 19 Germans, crossed the seas back in 17. One thing that's for damn sure, they're a wild old family.
Four rode by, wild Alex here. They were armed. All were armed. It was them and I'd have known them anywhere.
Thank you kindly.
kitchen in the tower. You get hot, so hot you can't stand it. And I think, oh yes, there are things going on in the nice air conditioned auditorium of the administration. At 1:30 this afternoon, a lot of people want to go and hear the storytelling workshop, which is on the shady side. Museum, which is right. Now all this is in your program, and you can decide to give yourself grants because we need money. So, word to the wise is sufficient. One more little thing that's very important, the Four Rivers Autobus has something up the road there. It's right up there somewhere. I don't know exactly where. But are trying to protect our beautiful Swanee River from pollution. And if you love it as much, and I know you, because that's why you love it, you want to keep it clean and so you go up there and sign the Swanee Caucus as an expression of love for the river and the fact that you don't want to see it polluted by you know what. So do that call. In the meantime, let's welcome the Swamp Rivers from Centra Way. I don't know if you know where Centra is. I know where Centra is. Here they are.
Down in Central Park. I was listening to the people from Moore Park, where I used to live, paying attention to them. But they let me out, so now I'm in Central Park, and I've been writing folk songs about kind things. Last year I sang a folk song out here called Rain Creek. It's about a man named Rain. I sang one called Pines Low, about a penitentiary that was built on pretty good full pine trees. This year I'm going to sing a couple more for you. First, I want to tell you how nice we've been treated out here. I believe how nice it is this year. The water's clean, like it ain't in Central. And there was a bathroom. They even had foot washers in the bathroom for us. Walter said he caught that. One thing I want to say, they asked us about last night. There wasn't much picking going on because there wasn't no campfires. So it was really something to roast a weenie over a Coleman stove. Other than that, everything's pretty good. Last year, a friend of mine got out of prison after 9 years. He'd been running too much moonshine, so they framed him up and gave him 10 years. He did 9 years, they let him out on parole, and back on, he didn't get out and get drunk, fall off a horse, and killed himself. So I wrote this song about him. His name is Monroe Gandy from down in Hilltown, Florida, a very good friend of mine. This one's called Monroe. Monroe made the whiskey for the people. In defiance of the government he stood. Grew up with the sheriff of the county, so the chances of his downfall wasn't good. He'd lay there in the woods and watch that groundhog. He could hear it moan and feel it shake the ground. Monroe double ran that pretty moonshine. No one knew where Monroe could be found. 9 long years in the penitentiary for the whiskey that the people love so well. Monroe swore he'd live to roam the woods again and quench thirst in the halls of a prison cell. Play it now. Was jealousy of money brought his downfall? They busted him outside the county line, framed him up and tried him with a stolen gun.
on the 10-year sentence Monroe would do die. It wasn't just a regular kind of trial. The jury wasn't ready to decide. No evidence had really been presented, but a lying witness came and turned the tide. 9 long years in the penitentiary for the whiskey that the people love so well. Monroe swore he'd live to roam the woods again. Quench the thirst that haunts a prison cell. Fuzzy. They sent old Monroe up to Rayford without a drink to soothe his angry mind. There he sat those 9 long years and dreamed about the woods he left behind. They let him out of prison last December. By summertime, old Monroe passed away. He was running 20 barrels of that Lake County corn and drank good whiskey on his dying day. 9 long years in the penitentiary for the whiskey that the people love so well. Monroe swore he'd live to roam the woods again and quench the thirst that haunts a prison cell. In the penitentiary for the whiskey that the people love so well. Monroe swore he'd live to roam the woods again and quench the thirst that haunts a prison cell. Quench the thirst that haunts a prison cell.
All right, these are the new Swamp Rooters. We're trying to put it together down around Gainesville. If you ever see us listed in the paper, please come see us. We need an audience. On my right is Walter Godwin, fifth generation, Alachua County. This fellow here is another cracker, Buzzy Sibley. He's at the University of Florida in Gainesville. Mighty fine banjo picker. We got to retune for this next song, so give me just a minute.
I don't know why they have to turn around to tune, but that's the way it goes. Bounce it off the wall, I believe.
All right, this is the one I've been waiting to sing all year long. I sang it out here last year, and it was a big hit. It's called The Pines of Lowell. And I just want to let it go down as a Florida folk singer that Mr. Wainwright is still employed in Tallahassee, and I want to dedicate this song in hopes that he won't be employed no longer. Pines of Lowell.
There was a beautiful hill just north of O'Keller, and it was covered with Florida pine. And it was a meller place for a feller who was sentenced to do in his time. That hill, it was covered with short needle pine trees that grew so pretty and tall. That old south wind kept a whispering through the pine trees, little brothers, you're going to fall. And please, Mr. Wainwright, don't you build no more prisons. Don't you build no more 8x10 cells. The convicts are killing the pines down low. They'll be burning you down in hell. Well, 68 came, and the war was a-raging, and the dope was flowing like wine. They locked up more people inside of those prisons than ever was recorded in time. The president, he did form a commission to study the criminal's fate. And they recommended, don't you build no more prisons,
but the word got to Florida too late. And please, Mr. Wainwright, don't you build no more prisons. Don't you build no more 8x10 cells. The convicts are killing the pines down in Lowell. They'll be burning you down in hell. They kept descending the men and the women, and the prisons was growing too small. And that old south wind kept a whispering through the pine trees, little brothers, you're going too far. They started cutting and chopping and digging and building those penitentiaries. They covered that hill with those sterile white buildings and destroyed all those pretty pine trees. And please, Mr. Wainwright, don't you build no more prisons. Don't you build no more 8x10 cells. The convicts are killing the pines down in Lowell, and they'll be burning you down in hell. They'll be burning you down in hell.
Thank you very much. I hope they fire him. He's a crook too. Now we got one more. We're going to show off the banjo with this one. And we hate to deviate from the normal cracker program. We like to sing Florida folk songs. But this is a Jim Dandy banjo tune. It's one about one of the most famous men in American history. The meanest man that ever existed. Another real criminal. His name was John Wesley Hardin. He was so mean that Doc Holliday ran from him. As a matter of fact, one morning he told a bellhop to wake him up at 7 o'clock, and the bellhop woke him up and he shot him and killed him. That's how mean he was. He was crazy. He was desperate. This is a song called John Hardy. A desperate.
Hardy was a desperate little man, carried two guns every day. Shot himself a man on the West Virginia line. You ought to see old Johnny get away. See old Johnny get away. Buzzy Sibley, five-string banjo. John Hardy came to a riverside. He thought he could go free. Up jumped the sheriff and grabbed him by the arm. Said, come on, Johnny, go with me. Come on, Johnny, go with me. Buzzy. Clean picking. First one to come and visit him was the one who was dressed in blue. She came right into that old jail cell. Said, Johnny, I've been true to you, boy. I've been true to you. One to come and visit him was the one who was dressed in red. She came right into that old jail cell. Said, Johnny, I'd rather see you dead. Johnny, I'd rather see you dead. John Hardy was a desperate little man, carried two guns every day. shot himself a man on the West Virginia line. You ought to see old Johnny get away. See old Johnny get away last time.
Thank you. Thank you.
We have a treat in store for big children and little children. Joyce Stover Stotts, ventriloquist from Zephyr Hills, and she's going to come up on the stage. Where's Joyce?
Leslie, I tell you, I'm having the greatest time of my life here at the Florida State Folk Festival. And you know, folks, I think that we ought to give somebody here a great round of applause. Me? No, Thelma Bolton. Ain't she the best lady in the world? I tell you, Thelma, when you kiss me, I tell you, my termites start crawling. I just think you're doing a terrific job, Thelma. And you folks out there are the greatest people in the whole world.
Well, Wesley, how are you enjoying yourself?
Well, I tell you, Joyce, I'm just having the time of my life. But just a couple weeks ago, I wasn't having the time of my life.
Well, what do you mean by saying such a thing as that, Wesley?
Well, I went up to visit my girlfriend in West Virginia.
Well, how was it?
Well, I ain't going up there to see her no more. Not till she gets rid of that dog of hers.
Well, what do you mean, Wesley?
Well, that dog of hers bit me right on the leg.
What'd you put on it?
Nothing. He seemed to like it just the way it was.
Wesley, to tell you the truth, I don't think I'd want to be your girlfriend with that pug nose you've got.
What do you mean? How dare you talk about my pug nose like this? I'll have you know my daddy had a pug nose.
Is that right, Wesley?
Yes, and my brother had a pug nose.
No.
Yes, and my brother had a pug nose.
Wesley, you just said that.
So I got two brothers.
Well, I take it pug nose is running your family.
Only in the wintertime.
All right, young man, that'll be enough out of you.
It ain't coming out of me.
Oh, so you will admit then if it wasn't for me, you couldn't talk.
Oh, brother, kid, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't eat.
Well, Wesley, you just don't know what side your bread is buttered on.
What's the difference? I eat both sides anyway. Folks, I want you to remember another little handy hint. Don't get angry at anything I say. Just remember Joyce here's got a hand in it.
Well, Wesley, I'm not going to go into deep discussions about that, but I realize that by the way you're dressed, you must somewhere in your past have some kind of a connection with country life and folklore.
Well, I don't know if I've got too much more than you. But I do know I enjoy country music, clogging, and storytelling. And I also know that my granddaddy was a great farmer.
A great farmer?
That's right, you got it. He was one of the greatest farmers in the world. And I tell you, he enjoyed
Thurman so much that during the Civil War, he stayed home to work on the farm.
Why did he do such a thing?
Well, I don't know. He just enjoyed the lurk, and one afternoon he was standing out in the front yard milking a cow, and along comes some soldier, looked at my grandpa and said, "Hey, you slacker, why ain't you at the front?"
What did your grandfather say?
He said, "You dummy, there ain't no milk on that end."
Well, I take it your grandfather was a great man, though.
Oh, he was a strong and mighty man. I remember telling how one morning him and Grandma was going to church in the buggy, and that horse stopped dead center in the middle of the road.
What did your grandfather do?
He climbed out of the buggy, walked around to the front of that horse, stuck his long, hairy finger right in front of that horse's nose, and said, "All right, animal, that's once."
Sounds like he was quite a man.
Oh, he was quite a man, all right. He got back in that buggy, and let me tell you, that horse started up right then and there. Well, they hadn't gone but about a quarter of a mile. That horse stopped again, dead center, smack in the middle of the road.
Imagine your grandpa was getting pretty angry.
Oh, he was the least to say angry. He climbed out of that buggy, walked around to the front of that horse, stuck his long, hairy finger up in front of that horse's nose and said, "All right, that's twice." He turned around, got back up in the buggy, said, "Giddy up, Aussie." Off she went down the road. They hadn't gone but a half a mile this time. That horse stopped dead in the middle of the road.
Well, I imagine he was really angry now.
Oh, he was angry for sure. He climbed out of that buggy, walked around to the front of that horse, stuck his finger in front of that horse's nose, said, "All right, you mangy horse, that's three times." Pulled out his shotgun and threw his head off.
Wesley!
That's right. He turned around, got back up into that buggy, and Grandma was fussing and fuming at him. Boy, she liked to tore him to pieces.
What did your grandpa do then?
Well, he turned to Grandma, stuck his finger in front of her nose, and said, "All right, that's once."
But what about yourself, Wesley? I want to know how much you know about farm life.
Well, I know that when I lived on the farm, everybody that lived on the farm always took up with one particular animal that they liked more than all the rest.
And I suppose you did the same thing.
That's right. I took up with the dog.
Yes? What kind of a dog was it?
Well, I don't know.
Well, what was its mother?
A female.
Well, what was its father, Wesley?
Just another dog.
Wesley, did the dog have a family tree?
Shucks, no. Any old tree's good enough for our dog.
Well, I take it was a great dog.
Oh, yes, he certainly was a great dog. And not only that, but we had some chickens on that farm.
Well, what kind of chickens did you have? Leghorns?
Oh, no, our chickens only lay eggs. One week, we had a chicken that exploded.
Now, Wesley, that's impossible. Chickens just don't explode.
Well, this one chicken did. Wouldn't give any eggs.